This message is brought to you by Croydon Tabernacle, a part of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. Our mission is reconciling the individual, community, and the nation to God. Be blessed as you listen.
Happy Easter Sunday to every one of us. Amen. It's a moment of grace for us. It's a moment of praise. It's a moment of thanksgiving. It's a moment of redemption. Hallelujah. Christ said in John chapter 11, verse 25, he made that declaration. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever live and believe in me shall never die. Hallelujah. Believe thou this? Hallelujah. That's John 11, verse 25 to 26. And this was a time when Martha, went to Jesus and they were discussing about Lazarus, who was dead and stinking already for about 4 days. But the power of the resurrection, Christ released unto Lazarus' life. And I pray today that everything that is dead in our lives, every organ, every virtue, the power of resurrection will touch us today. In the name of Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And so he made that declaration, and that was just something that was out of the ordinary. Because before then, we have had a few of the declarations. One, when he asked the disciples, who do people think or say I am? And of course, the Spirit of God moved Peter to speak. And Christ confirmed the words and said, indeed, flesh, and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father has revealed this unto you. But here, he himself came and said, I am the resurrection and the life. And for you and I as believers, for you and I as children of God, as long as that word, continues to constantly, ring in our hearing, as long as we write boldly those words on the tablet of our heart, it brings a renewed hope. Today we are speaking of the theme that says, hope restored. It brings a renewed hope. It brings restoration of hope. Because indeed there's nothing that's, no matter what we may be passing through, because Christ has made that revelation, because Christ has made that declaration, that indeed he is and remains the resurrection and the life. And it says, whoever that believe in him, even though it appears things are dead, even though it appears that your job has been lost, even though it appears that they decide to ask you to go home, work is finished, even though sickness, you've been battling with one ailment or the other. Hallelujah. Even though your home is troubled and you don't even know how this will happen. Even though the economy is biting so hard, some people, as you see them walk on the street, in terms of mental issues, in terms of whatever, some that you see on the street, they are technically dead. Hallelujah. Somebody will sit down and will have been lost in his or her thought, because of troubles, because of challenges. So the Bible says, he that believeth in me, though he appears, that he were dead, yet shall he live. And that gives me the encouragement. That gives me the consolation. That gives me the power to know that indeed, whatever that appears dead in my career, in my business, in my family, in my home, is just temporary. Because I relate with Christ, who resurrected from the dead. And indeed, in the Bible, we have many people who were dead and were resurrected. But the difference between them and Christ is because that they eventually died. But Christ rose for you and I. And he destroyed the powers and principalities, making a public triumphing over them in it. Colossians 2:15. and making a public example, a public shame of them. But because of that act that happened, I'm alive. Praise the Lord. Because of that singular act of the resurrection, we've had a divine exchange. A divine exchange. Hallelujah. A divine exchange. Praise the Lord. Because of what just happened on the cross, that exchange that we were expecting as believers came to manifestation. And if you check what we have in Isaiah chapter 61, you'll see the kind of divine exchange that I'm referring to. It says from verse 3, to appoint unto them they that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, hall of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You could see the kind of divine exchange that I'm speaking about. Because of the death of one man. Bible says without the death of the testator, we cannot have a testament. So Christ had to fulfill the purpose of his existence on the face of the earth for you and I to have, for our life to be meaningful. For you and I to have a new testament, the testator must die. And through, by the schemes of men, of flesh, intrigues and everything, he almost prevented that thing from happening. He almost prevented us from enjoying the redemptive power that God has given us. The reconciliation that God had proposed or promised to give us. The rebirth, our rejuvenation, our restoration. All birthed by this cross experience that we are celebrating today. Historians, theologians, they have a way of, you know, adducing reasons for, even scientists, for so many things. So it does not matter whether this is the period, you know, whether it's the actual date or whatever that Christ died. But the fact that we are celebrating the memory, and it brings unto us on that awareness of the reason why Christ died for us. And what that should do for us is to help us to self-examine ourselves. In the workers' meeting this morning, I was saying to them the wordings of a particular hymn. The hymn was saying, I have done this for you. I have died for you. What have you done for me? So it's a question that should continue to vibrate in our heart, that continue to stay with us permanently, so that on a daily basis, beyond the issues of life, beyond the things that we see, beyond everyday issues, we sit down and think deeply. Indeed, for Christ to have paid the price, the ultimate price, on the cross of Calvary, just because he wanted me to have life, then what have I done for him? If you study our Bible, you see a lot of things that happened in the course of this crucifixion and resurrection. You see the Gethsemane experience, which also exposed the weakness or the weaknesses of the disciples. You see the betrayals from one of the disciples. You see the denial by one of the disciples. You see how they were in disarray to the extent that even when he resurrected and he appeared to them, one of them refused to believe until he sees it physically. They were in disarray because they couldn't just understand how somebody that was reputed, that they've been following, that was meant to be all powerful, how could they just have just captured him like you've captured a rat? It's something that could make one's faith to be shaken. Hallelujah. But Christ proved them wrong by the resurrection. Hallelujah. He proved them wrong. And the Lord used people that were not expected to be seen with him. Remember Nicodemus. Bible says he went to him by the night. But in the course of his death, he chose to recognize him, to align with him publicly and openly. We saw how they brought, you know, Joseph of Arimathea. We saw Simon, you know, the women that were part of all of this. And most importantly, we saw how the Father displayed his emotions on the cross. That Christ had to cry, my Father, why have you forsaken me? It was a moment of agony. A moment of deep suffering. I can't imagine anyone going through that in life. And for a moment, the Lord himself, God himself, despite the fact that this was foretold, if you read Isaiah chapter 53, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He said he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That was way foretold by prophet Isaiah, even before it happened. But in spite of that, and the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that he himself endured the pains, the agony, just because of the glory that was set ahead of him. If there's anything we are taking away from today, is the fact that God loves us. It's the fact that Christ died a painful, very painful death just for you and I to have life. What a divine exchange. And by that resurrection, we don't have time to read through the Bible passages, but Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 12 to 22, please, when we get home, let's read. Ephesians 2, 12 to 22 tells us a lot about what transpired, about what happened. And by the virtue of that divine exchange, we now belong to the commonwealth of God. We were nobody before. Hallelujah. You and I were nobody before. Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it says that the wages of sin is death. John 3 verse 23. So if by default we were born into this world, ordinarily by default we were sinners. But because of that act, because of that power of death and resurrection, we've been transformed. And because of what happened, every power of sin has been cancelled. Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 to 15, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Hallelujah. He bore our sicknesses. And that's why we can boast in the Lord, that indeed by his stripes we are healed. And devil has no power over us any longer because of the death and the resurrection of Christ. The power of death has been broken over our lives. And so when we speak, when we pray for healing, when we speak, let us speak authoritatively as those who know their gods. As those who understand the purpose of our existence as children of God. Let us come to the throne of grace with the boldness that the resurrection power has conveyed upon our lives. We are not meant to be suffering any longer. We are not meant to be toiling any longer. We are not meant to be struggling any longer. And by his death, Adam's disobedience was replaced by Christ's obedience. Romans 5:19. And we could see that displayed all over. Hallelujah. By his death, by his resurrection, we have a better understanding of the dispensation of law and of grace. And his ascension to heaven brought us into the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, because he said, I will send my comforter. And he did. He sent his comforter. John chapter 14, 16 to 18. By his resurrection, the work of reconciliation was completed. By the act of what we are celebrating today, we are fully reconciled unto God. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 20. And I mentioned earlier, by the shedding of that precious blood, we are no longer allowed to make animal sacrifices. And one thing that that act on the cross did was to break, hallelujah, to open the veil. And that gives you and I a direct access unto God. You know, in those days, before you could approach, you know, God, there's only one time that his prophet will go into the Holy of Holies. That has been destroyed by the lifting of the veil. So you and I have freedom to approach God directly, to reason, just like Job said, to reason with God, to sit with God and to discuss with God, which is what we are enjoying today. Hallelujah. And finally, by his act, we are compelled to relate with one another in love, in genuine forgiveness, debt-free, spirit-filled, heaven-bound. We don't have any excuse any longer for not living life of holiness. You have no excuse again for harboring somebody who has wronged you in the past, not to forgive. You don't have any excuse again not to express deep and genuine love for your fellow human being. And the grace of God will help us, will see us through. In the name of Jesus, let's rise on our feet. And I just want us to bless God one more time this moment, this afternoon, to say, God, I just bless you for this act, for your love for me. Because before now, I was nobody. But now you have made me somebody. Before now, I was living a life of condemnation. But now I'm living a life of commendation. Before now, I could just do anything. But now I live in that grace that you provided for me. With that consciousness of the love that you have for me, of the sacrifices that you've done for me, no wonder Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Lord, let your power of resurrection touch my life anew. Restore every lost hope. Restore every lost destiny. Revive every dead organ in my body. It doesn't matter what the doctors have said concerning me. Let your power of resurrection touch me afresh, O God. Revive every dead tissue in my life. Every dead virtue in my life. Let that power touch me today, O Lord. Pray unto God, brethren. As that the power of resurrection will bring you out, will touch your life, will touch your children, will touch your spouse, in the name of Jesus. And let's lift our voice and pray for Corinth Tabernacle, that indeed his power will touch even his church, in the name of Jesus. And the Lord himself will do that which only himself can do concerning his church, concerning the body of Christ, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we honor you. And as we continue that prayer attitude, and as our eyes remain closed, peradventure there's anyone who hasn't, you know, given his life to Christ, or you have done so in the past and you have backslided, and you want to reaffirm, you know, reaffirm your pledges with God. You want God to bless you abundantly. You want to give your life back to God. Please, if there's anyone of such, just lift your right hand so I can pray together. You know, anyone that just, you know, you haven't given your life, or you have done so in the past, but you've backslided, and now you just want to reconcile back to God. Even as we examine this power of resurrection today, Father, we honor you. Thank you, mighty Father. Glory be to your holy name. We thank you for today. We thank you for the reason for this season. We thank you for answering our prayers. Lord, we believe that very shortly we shall get our testimonies in full, to the glory of your name, to the shame of the devil. Lord, we receive back into life every dead tissue, every dead organ, every dead destiny, every destiny that has been altered. Lord, we ask for restoration today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty Father. We banish every spirit of death in our lives, in our families, in this church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, mighty Father. Glory be to your holy name. Glory be to your holy name. For we pray in Jesus' name. For we pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you were ministered to through this message. If you have any comment on this presentation or would like to contact us, our address is 38 to 40 Parsons Meet, West Croydon, CR03SL. To speak to a member of our team, you can call us on 0208-688-466. Our website address is www.croydontabernacle.org.uk. Thank you and God bless.